sorry.
You okay?
I'm okay, good.
You choking on that truth?
Stop laughing, this is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
Hello, this is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your Malm dresser makeover. Conditioning my face with rosehip oil, I cried all night watching Grey's Anatomy Friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your oversleeping, cat haircut giving, the shingles virus may already be inside me friend.
And if you've ever felt like you don't belong, you belong with us. Every week, Bethany and I meet up to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
more tactical skills that you could potentially use in your daily life or to evade capture thanks to a retired Navy SEAL.
You know, being a tactical spy skill set person has always been on my list of things to do, but I think this past birthday finally made me ineligible. For any governmental programs, I am officially too old to be a spy.
Well, I have this book. I've used it in the past. I'll link it in the show notes. But it's this retired Navy SEAL, and he tells you how to do things like get out of duct tape handcuffs, get out of zip tie handcuffs, jump out of a helicopter. And Kathleen, someday you may find yourself in a helicopter roughly 20 feet or less above the ocean floor. You too can jump out of a helicopter.
Bethany, it is literally my wet dream to find myself in a situation like that.
What are you talking about?
This week I'm talking about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Ah, the hot topic.
Because why not?
Look, he's a superstar.
Miss Bethany.
Yeah.
You woke up with maybe a little herpes on your face today. Please share. Ugh.
So over the weekend, I thought that I had formed a scalp irritation from a new dry shampoo. I wasn't sure what had happened.
Yeah.
I was feeling sort of redness and some swelling behind my right ear. And then the next day on Saturday, my lymph nodes, got swollen. It felt like I had some beads under my neck. Like there was like a swollen lymph node and then a swollen lymph node and then a swollen, like all in a line. Yeah. And then yesterday it started to hurt. The lymph nodes were tender.
Oh.
And so I just assumed it was an irritation. But this morning I woke up and I have a patch on my neck under my jaw. And it looks like someone laid fish eggs.
Yeah.
And so
it looks like caviar on top of my sushi.
Yes. And so as the commercial says, the shingles virus may already be inside you.
Just like the Lord.
Yeah, just like the Lord. He's in your heart. Shingles is in your immune system. So I've been very stressed out lately, and I think it might be a result of that.
Baby girl.
So we'll see. We'll go to the doctor today and we'll see.
You know, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry that you likely have shingles. And the second you recover, I have big plans for us.
What's that?
Bethany, we're going to get a billboard. I am determined. I looked at my husband this week and I said, do you think like maybe we could get a billboard? And he was like, that is the stupidest waste of marketing money ever. And I was like, well,
why?
You don't own this podcast. I do. And we're going to get a billboard. We're going to take some photos, Bethany, and we're going to get a GD billboard on Route 17 in New Jersey, because apparently how much does a billboard cost in Times Square, which would be the more ideal location?
Oh, this says per year, $1.1 to $4 million.
Oh, per year. Okay, cool.
But just for a day. It can start at 5,000 and go up to well over 50,000. So, like, if we want like the Colin Kaepernick, Ben and Jerry's ice cream spot, which is like three huge billboards, that's probably $150,000. But like, if we want the tiny little perfectly square billboard that's over like one of the theaters, probably 5,000.
So we'll just have to not buy food for a couple of months to pay for this, and then just
that's fine.
Hope that everything pans out. I say this because I grew up in a city. The city's name was Hackensack.
Hackensack.
Hackensack is a really interesting, eclectic city. And, you know, there are very, very wealthy areas of Hackensack. There are very poor areas of Hackensack. And there's like a mix of all different types of people. I love Hackensack. It is in my heart forever. But the downtown area has become a little bit run down over the years. And Hackensack must have hired a PR team because they are rebranding their downtown. And on Route 17 in New Jersey, there's a huge a huge billboard promoting the new revitalized downtown area of Hackensack, and they're calling it The Sack. I am just praying. I am praying that someone climbs this billboard and just draws a giant testicle, giant testicles over the entire billboard. I mean, billboards are digital these days, so that doesn't really happen.
Going back to last week's topic about why people draw dicks on everything.
This is why.
This is one instance where I would 100% support someone drawing dick and balls. So I'm on downtownhackensack.org, and it just says The Sack.
The Sack.
There's a lot of buzz around The Sack.
Sack. The, listen.
The Sack.
Who wouldn't want to live in The Sack? You know,
The Sack.
Yeah, Hackensack is kind of what, because it's an interesting name and there's a lot of syllables.
Yeah.
It's in songs, the name Hackensack. It's a, there was a Budweiser commercial when I was a cheerleader. It was like, knock 'em back, all the way to Hackensack. And it's just, there's that Billy Joel song. What do you get? Mama's something, Hackensack, is that all you get for your money?
Really? Yeah. Is that the heart attack hack song?
Yes, it's a Hackensack.
Well, look, so it says, the promise of a new day in downtown Hackensack is emerging, and The Sack is on the verge of a revival.
It is, yeah.
An incredible opportunity for new businesses or those considering relocation. So you know what? There could be wig stores. Mm-hmm. There could be hair salons. There could be barbers. Lots of hair on The Sack.
Bethany. So if The Sack is worthy of a billboard on Route 17 South going towards New York City, I think an Acquired Taste podcast is worthy of a GD billboard on Route 17 South going towards New York City.
Absolutely. Don't be late to the party. Get to The Sack. Only 15 minutes from New York City. Is it really only 15? Is that a 15 minute as the crow flies,
no.
Or is that a 15 minute drive?
It's a 15 minute drive.
Is it really just that short?
Yeah. I grew up right outside of Manhattan.
Well, that's great. I'm all about The Sack.
Can we talk about Meghan Markle? Speaking of things that really suck, like sacks, the British royals. Did you see any of that interview last night with Meghan Markle and Harry and Oprah?
No. I saw one clip this morning where she was talking about how Kate Middleton made her cry, but then she didn't go into it because she said Kate Middleton apologized. I didn't see it, but I know that Bethany Frankel was tweeting up a firestorm beforehand saying that Meghan Markle, boo-hoo, you poor little rich girl, but then afterwards apologized because she actually watched the interview and felt bad for Meghan Markle.
Oh, shit. Yeah, insert foot into mouth. Damn.
So what did you feel? What did you watch? What did you see?
I have never been particularly interested in the royals in my entire life. I know a lot of people are mm-hmm. obsessed with them. And I feel like my disinterest was solidified last night when I found out some of the really terrible, awful, lot of racial undertone things. Not undertones. It was freaking overtones. I mean, it's just they're pretty awful to Meghan. They were questioning what the color of the baby was going to be before Archie was born. And it sounds pretty horrific. But I found it really funny that Harry was very complimentary of his grandmother because he definitely doesn't want to be written out of that will.
Oh, smart.
Yeah,
he's in a really interesting position. As we learned from the television show Bridgerton, if you're in an elite family and the family is a patriarchy, you want to be the second born son because there's no pressure on you. You get all the money, but then you also get to go to brothels and have threesomes and foursomes and fivesomes. And, you know, he's in kind of a cush position.
As Harry once did, I think, in Vegas. I think he did. He lived that Bridgerton plotline in Vegas.
Got to.
I am happy that, you know, Meghan Markle, this is really the craziest thing. She equated herself to the Little Mermaid, where she becomes a princess and loses her voice.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And now she has her voice back.
Look, not an inappropriate comparison.
No.
Right? Like, Ariel gives up her voice and her legs and her whole family. Yeah. Meghan gave up her career and her privacy. But she, you know, she knew what she was giving up, but she didn't know what she was giving up. Because how can you possibly know the royal family, especially as an American, until you go behind that, you know, beaded curtain?
And she said they gave her zero training. Like, she was Googling things like, how do I cross my legs like a Brit? Like, what kind of manners do British people, like, hold on high esteem? What is the British national anthem? Like, always imagined her training coming in like Anne Hathaway in The Princess Diaries, you know, like makeover. They teach her how to dance. They teach her manners. And Meghan Markle got none of that.
I pictured it like in The Hunger Games, where everyone's kind of mean, but you have one Lenny Kravitz who wears just a little bit of gold eyeliner and takes pity on you and takes you under his wing and is like really nice. Yeah. Or like in The Devil Wears Prada, yeah, where you have what's
Stanley
his name?
Tucci.
Who's Stanley Tucci, who takes pity on you and takes you under his wing.
Can you imagine? You are one of the biggest stars in the entire world, one of the most written about celebrities, and nobody will tell you anything. Crazy. Craziness.
It's really, really tough. I just, would it be worth it for you?
No.
Like, unless you believe that there's only one person for every person, there's only one soulmate for every person. You know, she said, I guess, that she was suicidal at one point.
Yeah, when she was pregnant.
Is it worth it for quote unquote true love to go into all of this rigmarole?
I don't think so.
I don't know.
Would it be worth it for you?
I don't know. I think I almost have to take back the question because there's no way you would know.
Yeah.
Like you wouldn't know until it's too late. And then what, you're going to get a divorce? That's not an option right now.
They're living off of Princess Diana's money because the royal family has cut them off completely.
Jeez.
It's you should go back and watch it. It was a crazy interview. Oprah's mouth at some points during the interview was agape. Like she couldn't believe the words that were coming out of it. Just, you know, I'm disappointed in Kate Middleton because I really wanted them to be best friends. I wanted to see pictures of them frolicking on family vacations on the beach together.
But do we know that they weren't? Because, I mean, I also read a headline that Meghan Markle said the press really wanted there to be a rift. And there's this view that if you like one of the women, you can't like the other.
Mm.
And, you know, she was like, you can like Kate Middleton and also like me. You can like me and also like Kate Middleton. There doesn't have to be
a rift.
An either or. Yeah.
It sounds like they're not the best of friends. I know.
That sucks.
I know.
I don't know.
Ugh.
Not worth it. Not worth it. Not sorry, Harry. Not worth it.
In other news, quickly, before we get into the topics this week, Reese's peanut butter cups, they are releasing a chocolate-free peanut butter cup. Have you heard about this?
So it's just peanut butter on the outside, peanut butter on the inside?
Peanut butter on the outside, peanut butter on the inside.
I am all for it. Is the peanut butter on the outside a little bit crusty still so that there's like a shell you have to get through?
There is a shell that you have to get through.
Kathleen, sign me up. Why didn't they ask me to beta test this?
They released the news on March 1st. Let's see. When is it coming out? Let me skim this article from Hard-Hitting Glamour.
Peanut butter is one of those foods that I love so much that I can't have it in my house because peanut butter is serving size one jar for me. So I'm all about this.
I don't know when it's coming out, but that's, I think Lady Gaga has something to do with it. Wait, hang on.
Such a weird partnership, of course.
I am terrible at skimming articles. My dad always wanted me to take these lessons to be a speed reader. And I'm like, Dad, I just can't do it.
Back in the day, they used to have like infomercials on speed reading. And you would just see people like flipping pages super fast. And just people were obsessed with speed reading.
I know. And when I was going through all of my dad's stuff and throwing stuff away, I found like these notebooks about speed reading. I'm like... from the 70s, from Columbia University, like journals and journals and journals about how to become a good speed reader. And I'm like, what the hell? You know what speed reading in the year 2021 is? You pop in an audiobook and you put it on 200% the speed. That's speed reading.
My blood pressure goes through the roof. I know you do that when you're on your way to book club and you didn't read the book. Like, it's so stressful.
I made a friend once sit in the car with me in traffic and listen to Hemingway's A Movable Feast on 3.5 the speed. And it felt like we were on drugs.
So I think today's speed reading is that and also just reading the headlines. And like making your argument off of just the headlines, which is what I did with that whole Meghan Markle interview just now. Yeah, I don't know. Did you ever find out where the thing when the peanut butter comes out or no?
I didn't, but my Lady Gaga faux pas was that Lady Gaga made an Oreo. So now I guess Reese's is trying to like surpass coolness of Lady Gaga's Oreo or whatever. You know what, Glamour? Stop pitting Oreos against Reese's peanut butter cups. Just stop it.
We just said stop pitting wonderful things against other wonderful things. You can like both wonderful things.
Miss Bethany Watson.
Yes.
I have a very highly scientific topic for us to talk about today. I'm very excited about it. Why are you laughing?
Because I know it's Leonardo DiCaprio, and I know that this is, you know, I'll be honest. I know a lot of his films, but I don't know a ton about him. I know he dates models.
So Leonardo DiCaprio, gentle listener, that is my topic today because this is a man who is fascinating. And you know what? Despite the Times reporter that said he was boring, I find fun facts about Leonardo DiCaprio highly entertaining.
Who said he was boring?
He was being interviewed for Time magazine. I was laughing when I was reading this because you, Bethany, you and I have both been there at some point. You know when you're really excited to interview a celebrity because you love their TV show that's like a teenage TV show about vampires or whatever.
Or whatever you're into.
And then they come in and all they want to talk about is the environment or dolphins or saving the whales.
Yeah.
And you're like, ugh. Like, I agree that saving the planet is a good thing, but this is not what I want to talk to you about today. Like,
yeah.
Adrien Grenier only ever wants to talk about the ocean.
Yeah. And he was very nice to talk to. I ran into him on the street too, and he was very polite, but like,
yeah,
you know, he wants to talk about the whale, that one so sad whale, which is worth talking about.
He loves the whales.
But it's like, yeah, it's disappointing when they won't talk about anything else.
Yeah. Ian Somerhalder loves saving the dolphins.
Which is also very important.
I know. But when he was on Vampire Diaries, we tried to interview him to talk about vampires and diaries, and he was like, nah, dolphins. Dude. So anyway, back to Leonardo DiCaprio. You know why I love Leonardo DiCaprio? Because he does what he loves, and he did it for so long with such little recognition from the Academy.
Yeah.
The Academy Awards. How many people can say that they do that? Just they do what they love without any recognition.
I mean, he got recognition. It's not like he was, you know, working as a plumber in like an underserved population. I mean, he was an actor getting plenty of recognition. He wasn't like an EMT pulling a 36-hour shift or something, but.
And so for the sake of this conversation, I just want to overlook the fact that he hasn't ever publicly dated a woman older than 25 years old. He hasn't.
Yeah. So, yeah. Wow. Okay.
How old is he now? How old is Leo D? He's, I think, 46. So he's not that old.
Oh, 46. Okay, yeah. Right on.
I was going to guess older than that. Something to love about Leonardo DiCaprio.
Mm-hmm.
He loves Kate Winslet.
Oh, this is great. We all need big stars who were in incredibly romantic movies together to actually love each other. When they don't, yeah. It breaks your heart.
It breaks your heart. So he's publicly said that Kate Winslet is his favorite actress.
Yeah.
And I read that when they first met, the first time that they met, she flashed him her boobs because there was that awkward, like, we're pretty young and this is a big movie and I have to be naked in front of you while we're filming.
Yeah.
She just was like, boop. And that kicked off the chemistry that they had forever.
It makes sense that the way to Leonardo DiCaprio's heart was through your boobs.
Through the boobs. And I didn't know this, but the two of them, they paid for the nursing home fees for the last survivor of the Titanic.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah.
How sweet.
Her name was Milvina Dean, the last survivor of the Titanic disaster. And in 2009, reports circulated that she was having to sell off memorabilia and other possessions in order to pay her nursing home bills. And that is where DiCaprio and Winslet and director James Cameron stepped in to publicly secure her financial future.
Wow. That's so nice.
Yeah.
That's so nice. I wonder how much money it was.
It was like a drop in the bucket for those.
For
three.
Them,
was,
yeah.
Yeah, it was like $30,000.
Nursing expensive though, man. That's so crazy.
My father was in a nursing home right before he died.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly expensive. But he was a veteran, so we were only paying half of what other people pay. It was great. I mean, it's insanity. We should all start nursing home funds right now.
Yeah.
We should. Ugh. We should start a big jar.
Yeah, especially like people like me who don't have children and won't have children to care for us.
Yeah.
You know, I don't have anyone to move in with and force them to love me in my old years.
Do you think about that often, about who's going to take care of you when you're older?
No, I mean, I just assume I'll have a staff and I'll force them to love me. Just like my butler, And my maid will love me. I mean, I'm going to be paying for their room and board, and like, I'm going to be so sweet and love them because they'll at that point be the only friends I have left. And so I hope that just like in their spare time, they'll let me stay in my own house, which I've leased or which I've, you know, deeded to them when I pass. So like, they're going to be set up for life, but really I just want them to be nice to me as I slowly become a shell of my former being. But I, you know, I'll be fun.
Yeah. You also have nieces, so they could take care of you too.
Yeah, but I, you know, I don't like being around people all the time. And my nieces are nice and like being around people all the time. And so they're probably going to keep talking to me and I'm going to want to be in like a quiet place. So I think staff is better. They can always visit. You know, but like, I think it's better to have a staff,
you know,
in your old age.
You're not incorrect about that. So then no one ever has to like resent you for having to take care of you.
Yeah. I mean, my staff will resent me, but they're getting paid.
They're
like
getting
paid. Nice amount of money. I'm going to be paying them six figures. So.
Well, I hope this podcast is really big.
I've had this all set up for years.
Another fun fact about Leonardo DiCaprio. He has never done drugs. Never.
Really?
And despite being around drugs from a very young age, they actually had to get someone who was an expert on doing drugs onto the set of Wolf of Wall Street because that movie is based on just doing lots and lots of cocaine. You would never know. He was amazing in that movie. He's never done drugs.
Okay, so I have a couple of questions.
Yeah.
I wonder, how old was he when River Phoenix died? I'm trying to think if that affected him. I'm trying to think why he never did drugs, because they're everywhere.
Were they friends, River
Phoenix? I don't know. I think maybe there was a bit of a difference.
Yeah. I mean, Leonardo DiCaprio famously had like a posse that he would run around New York and LA with in the 90s. I'm not sure if River Phoenix was a part of that, but he's never done drugs. And him and Jonah Hill apparently were watching videos of the drunkest man in the world to prepare for their roles in Wolf of Wall Street.
Also, how do you find an expert on doing drugs without just going... Like
there's an ask for every chair.
I mean, I know there are definitely experts on doing drugs, but I don't know if they're reliable to get into like an office location where you can instruct someone else on the ins and outs of what it looks like doing drugs.
I want to be hired by a movie as an expert for procrastination. I'll show you how it's done. I'm an expert.
Girl, if you need a TA, I'll come in TA with you.
Leonardo DiCaprio also went to one of these experimental schools where you kind of do your own thing.
Where you don't get an A, you get a seashell.
You get it. You get a pat on the back for participation.
Yeah. Was that in LA? That seems like an LA school.
It was in LA. I had a cousin who went to one of those.
Of course.
He only played Minecraft. He played Minecraft for 2 years before his parents pulled him out. That's what he did every day.
Is he smart? Does he seem like it did anything or no?
He's very smart, but one of those people who is smart in certain subjects because that's all he did was the subjects that he was interested in.
Yeah.
I don't think that is that bad of an idea. I truly don't.
I think you need to be decently rounded, and here is why.
Okay.
Like, I see the frustration. I know many people who are freelancers, especially photographers and editors, and there is frustration when a client wants revisions, like edits, and they want them immediately, and they don't understand the process that goes into like editing a photograph and like going through an entire series of photographs and making the same edit to all of them. It's a lot of time. We should all kind of have an understanding of what other people do. And I think that goes with school as well. We should at least have a general understanding of many things so that we're not just giant a-holes when it comes to understanding what other people do with their lives.
I see what you're saying. Bethany, you make an excellent point. But it's still, do you ever wish it could be rebirthed and just try life like totally off the grid of what you experienced the first time?
Yes. What would you be doing right now, Kathleen, if you had chosen a different path?
You know, I don't know. You've got a lot of teachers in your family. Well, no, maybe just your sister, Nicole. Do you have other teachers in your family?
Not really.
My mom is a teacher. My aunt was a teacher. My grandma's a teacher. My mother-in-law's a teacher. My brother-in-law's a teacher. Like everybody in my family's a teacher. And my grandma was actually a teacher during the Great Depression, and she supported her family, which was incredible. But I had this crazy dream the other day that maybe I'll turn it into a book series where my mom was retiring. And when a teacher retired, someone in her family had to take over, or someone in their family, rather, had to take over. And so I inherited my mother's classroom.
Oh, that's funny.
And I'm in this classroom and I'm like, oh, how am I going to remember the names of all these kids? Like, I can't even remember what I had for breakfast yesterday. I remember there was a little girl named Yael because I freaking love the name Yael. And I was in the classroom and I was like, okay, well, and my mom is there. She's like, okay, this is the lesson planned. I was like, okay, but like, what do I do? And one of the teachers was like, oh, well, maybe you could teach like a graphics design course on the side to like make you feel fulfilled.
To make sure you're not just like depressed every day, not following your bliss.
Imagine if you had to be, I mean, a lot of people do this. A lot of people become what their parents were, but imagine if that was the law.
Wow. Wow. Yeah. It's, yeah, that'd be tough. I mean, I would have to either be...
You'd have to be a baby nurse and hate kids.
I don't hate kids. I just don't want them. Do you have to follow like what your parent does based on like your gender expression? Like would I have to go with what my mom did, or could I also work in a university setting like my dad?
Yeah, you could work in a university setting like your dad.
Okay. That's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah. Okay, back to Leo D.
Yeah, back to Leo D.
Leo D got his name because his mom was in the Uffizi Museum in Florence, and the first time she felt him kick, she was looking at a painting done by Leonardo da Vinci.
That makes sense. I always wondered where he got the name.
There's also a lot of fan fiction written about Leonardo DiCaprio out there, including lots of stories that have an erotic version of him. There's one particular fan fiction story about him finally winning an Oscar, yet only having until the end of the day to live.
What? What are people doing with their time?
I don't know.
Wait, is that one erotic too?
Yes, I believe so.
So is he just effing and essing his way through Hollywood on his last day alive with his Oscar?
Something like that. He didn't win an Oscar until 2016. For The Revenant. I never saw that movie. Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen it. I've heard it was real tough to shoot. Real, real hard.
Well, apparently he's got an affinity for danger. And he was very sick and very cold during the whole time they shot it. I think they shot it in Alaska? ? Anyway, he broke his vegetarianism to eat raw bison during that movie.
Wow.
Is that what they call being a method actor?
I mean, was he doing it because he was trying to get the experience, or was he doing it because he was legitimately so hungry that he was like, I'll eat anything?
Oh, no, it was part of the movie. He had to film.
Oh, then he's just doing it. Yeah, he's doing it for the movie.
Would you eat meat to be in a movie?
I mean, if it's part of the movie and you have to eat meat and they can't make something that doesn't look like, you know, like if they, like our friend M, like had to carve baby That's carrots right. to like Cheetos for a show. I think, yeah, if they couldn't fake it, yeah, of course. You got to do what you got to do.
Oh, bananas in 2014. And I don't remember this. And I tried to find the photos. Apparently back in 1995, Leonardo DiCaprio took all of these questionable photos with bananas, like a series of photos where he's holding bananas. And I think it was in a like an erotic phallic way. The photographer, his name is David LaChapelle, released them in 2004, even though he took them 20 years prior. And Leonardo DiCaprio was not happy about
no
these
kidding.
Crazy shots with him and bananas.
Yeah, I'm guessing he wasn't using them and pretending they were phones. I'm guessing he was doing something else with them. Yeah, you don't get to do that, photographer. That's not fair or nice.
And in 2005, speaking of bananas, this is bananas. There was a model, her name was Aretha Wilson. She hit Leonardo DiCaprio over the head with a broken bottle at a party, injured his face, and she went to prison for 2 years.
As she should. Don't hit people with broken bottles.
Yeah, you can't hit people with broken bottles.
No, you can't.
2 years. Can you imagine being locked up and you're like, ah, what did you do? I don't know. I'm just dealing drugs. What'd you do? I hit Leonardo DiCaprio over the head with a broken bottle.
I wonder if she got a lot of respect or if people were really angry because his face is lovely and you don't want to be ruining that face.
His face is so cute.
Yeah, he's got a
great
face.
How many times did you go see Titanic in the movie theater?
Twice.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Twice. My friend Morgan went 4 times.
There's a certain population of teenage girls who went to go see that movie twice the first week that movie came out. Four times. That movie's 3 hours long. Your friend Morgan's insane.
I know. She was great. That was the first time I'd ever hugged a boy that wasn't related to me. Was after
Titanic?
After we all went to see Titanic together. And I don't remember how old I was, like middle school or whatever. I had a crush on this boy.
Yeah.
And we were all crying so hard after Titanic was done. And so he gave me a hug. And Morgan knew I had a crush on him. And so I saw Morgan in my peripheral vision just nodding her approval, like, yeah, that was the right thing to do.
That was
the right thing to do, Chris, giving Bethany a hug.
Well, speaking of roles, that was the right thing, Chris, to do. You were crying because Titanic was so sad.
So sad. Really? Yeah, so sad. The old couple lying in bed holding hands, just like accepting their fate. Awful. You didn't cry?
That. You know, I was so nervous because I had to go see it with my mom because I was too young to go to a – it was rated R? No, PG-13. I was too young, and I had to see it with my mom, and I was very embarrassed about the naked scene, and I think I was really preoccupied with that the whole time we were watching.
Sure.
Do you remember the movie The Aviator?
Yes.
That Leonardo DiCaprio was in? Mm-hmm. Apparently, Leonardo DiCaprio also suffers from OCD, which is why he took that role and really related to the character of Howard Hughes, who suffers from OCD in that movie.
He's severe OCD. Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah. That's why he took that. Oh, famously, when he was younger, Leonardo DiCaprio was friends with Tobey Maguire, and they had like a close friend group called The Posse. Apparently, they made a movie together. Like, The Posse made a self-made movie, like a little indie production. Mm-hmm. And it's just about friends talking about life. And apparently, it got so crazy that they made it, and then Leonardo DiCaprio and Tobey Maguire had to get lawyers to make sure it was never released because it would damage their reputations forever.
I think I've heard about this. I forgot that I knew about this. And it's like someone has it and is forbidden to release it. I don't remember if it's Tobey Maguire or if it's Leo.
One of them. And every now and then, someone that's not the two of them who has a copy of it tries to release it, and it gets taken down immediately. So only a handful of lucky people have seen it.
Oh, it's so stressful. Can you imagine if you had something like that? Like, that kind of sword of Damocles just hanging over your head where you're like, someone could someday release this. Like, all it would take is one person to release it online, and within the few hours it took to have it taken back down again, it could so easily get out. I'm so surprised it hasn't gotten out.
I mean, they were young and obviously very stupid when they were filming this, and obviously also like very, very, very naive.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And we've all been there, you know, things that we're not proud of. So I kind of side with the guys on this.
Oh, no, totally. I'm just surprised that
no one has released it. So Titanic, that was when he became like the big time heartthrob.
Right.
It's when Cosmo Girl had stickers of Leonardo DiCaprio in the centerfold.
What were the stickers?
You could take out the stickers and then put them on your notebook.
But what were they of?
Just of Leo.
Like just his head?
Yeah, and his body, his upper body in different poses. Every Cosmo Girl for a while was putting stickers in their centerfolds of all cute guys.
And it was like photos of them.
Yeah. That's why I had Mark McGrath on my French notebook. sophomore year.
Was it Mark McGrath's full body?
It probably was.
Or just his head, like, wink, and his hair, his swoopy hair cut out.
My French notebook was just all stickers of Mark McGrath.
Wow.
Anyway, so after Titanic hit it big, apparently there are a lot of young guys going to the barber for Leonardo DiCaprio haircuts.
Sure.
Like that shaggy look.
Yeah, it's a good look.
Listen, I get it. Many times I went to the hairstylist asking to look like Lucy from Seventh Heaven.
Beverly Mitchell.
Beverly, the big bangs and the face frame.
Totally.
So in Afghanistan, not only was the movie Titanic banned because the Taliban did not like it, they also banned guys in the country from getting the Leonardo DiCaprio haircut. And they were putting barbers who were giving the haircut in jail.
Oh, that's insane.
It's the craziest thing.
Sometimes you just want to look like Leonardo DiCaprio and have some swoopy hair.
Imagine like some small remote country that's sort of been off the grid all of a sudden gets electricity and the whole country becomes fans of the show Friends, and all the women get the Rachel in the year 2022 or something.
They all get the Rachel.
And then the government bans it.
They get Friends and the first season of American Idol. So they're all doing the Rachel, but with really chunky Kelly Clarkson highlights.
Oh,
like a burgundy hair with an orangey yellow highlight chunks. Ouch.
Yeah. Bethany, you and I should write fan fiction.
Yeah, yes. About how Leonardo DiCaprio got the Rachel, could only live for a day, and was having tons and tons of sex while getting his hair chunky highlighted.
Tons and tons of sex on his island off the coast of Belize.
That makes sense.
Which he owns, and he's planning on turning it into an eco-friendly resort.
Oh, that's very nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, here's another lovely fact about Leonardo DiCaprio. While he was filming Blood Diamond in South Africa, he sort of adopted a young girl. And while he can't physically take care of her himself due to his lifestyle of dating only women under the age of 25, yeah. he sends her whatever she needs, like puts her up, gives her a home, gives her education, gives her money every
wow.
month.
Good
so he kind of has a daughter. He kind of has a daughter.
He has a ward, right? Isn't that what that used to be called? She's my ward. She's like not your kid, but she lives with you and you care for her. He has a ward.
Yeah. But if they live with you, then it's a boarder.
Yeah, but I think so. She's not a, well, is she a ward?
She's a ward of the Leonardo DiCaprio estate.
Yeah. What does it mean when you have a ward?
She has first agent wanted him to change his name to Lenny Williams.
Nope. Nope. So bad. Nope. Nope. Nope.
Sometimes I think about giving my kids a really good middle name, so in case they ever become famous, they don't have to use our last name.
That's what John Voight did with his kids, because Angelina Jolie, Jolie is her middle name.
Oh,
and her brother is the same thing. I don't know. I remember her brother's name, but it's the same thing.
This movie that I've talked about in the podcast previously, Behind Her Eyes, which is in the top 10 on Netflix right now, it stars a child of Bono. The main character in the movie she's Bono's daughter. Her real name, she goes by Eve Hewson. Her real name is Memphis Eve Sunny Day Hewson.
Wow. I always wanted a million names as a kid. I wish my parents had given me like three or four middle names. I was always so jealous of people who had extensively long names.
You and I have the same middle name.
We do. Marguerite.
Kathleen Marguerite. Mm-hmm. Seashell. Seafoam.
Your parents were in Florida when they conceived.
What is your favorite Leonardo DiCaprio movie?
I have to say I really love Shutter Island. It's an underappreciated Leonardo DiCaprio movie, but it's so spooky. And yeah, I really, really dig it a lot. It has Mark Ruffalo in it, so you can't be mad.
God, I love him.
Yeah, he's great.
Shutter Island is great.
It's great.
I mean, every Leonardo DiCaprio, there's never a Leonardo DiCaprio movie that I haven't liked that he's made after the year 1997.
What is yours?
Catch Me If You Can.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, it has Tom Hanks.
Yeah, you love a Tom Hanks joint.
I need to have a day where I just sit down and watch Leonardo DiCaprio movies.
That's going to be a long day. He has so many.
IMDb, Leo D. Let's see. Inception is so good.
Here's why I love Inception. Because they used that rig where they make a room spin on a wheel so it looks like you're defying gravity. I love anything that uses that wheel. The Jamiroquai video, the NSYNC Bye 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 video, Janet Jackson used it, Inception used it, Billie Eilish used it when she was on SNL. I love a rotating room. My dream is to do something on a rotating room.
The Great Gatsby was an amazing Leonardo DiCaprio movie.
That's right.
Let's see, Blood Diamond, The Departed.
The Departed, so good. Romeo. Plus Juliet.
Yeah, Gangs of New York.
So good.
So good. Revolutionary Road?
I never saw Revolutionary Road.
Oh, that's a good one.
What were they doing on that road? What was the revolution about?
They were just you know what? I don't remember. I tried to bullshit there, but I just have to be honest. Apparently, at the end of this year, he has a huge movie coming out. I cannot wait. And you know who's going to be first in line? Putin. Because you know who's a huge fan of Leonardo DiCaprio? Putin.
Putin?
Putin. Leo D. donated $1 million to some Siberian tiger place in Russia. And Putin is like that. Leo D., he's a man.
Wow.
There's a movie coming out called Don't Look Up. It stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Jennifer Lawrence, Timothy Chalamet, Ariana Grande, Meryl Streep, Kid Cudi, Jonah Hill, Chris Evans, Cate Blanchett, among others, Matthew Perry,
Tyler
Perry. What a
strange combination of actors.
Ron Perlman, Himesh Patel. It tells the story of two low-level astronomers who must go on a giant media tour to warn humankind of an approaching comet that will destroy the planet Earth.
What a strange... it's an Adam McKay movie. So that makes more sense. Wow.
Don't Look Up.
Don't Look Up.
Leo D. So there you go. My love of Leonardo DiCaprio and why everybody should love Leo D.
Kathleen, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago, we did the topic of tactical spy skills that you can do at home with things around you.
My favorite topic ever ever.
Is tactical spy skills?
Well, yeah, because I learned these tactical spy skills from you. And then I go to parties when we could go to parties. Yeah. And I'm like, all right, I don't really know you that well, but you want to learn about some tactical spy skills that my friend told me about?
It's crazy. So I'm going through the same book. This is 100 Deadly Skills by Clint Emerson. He's a retired Navy SEAL. The subtitle is The SEAL Operative's Guide to Eluding Pursuers, Evading Capture, and Surviving Any Dangerous Situation. This is, I think, the first edition. He has since come out with many, many, many more. Mm. But I was telling you off the air, there's a couple of things in here that I'm surprised are allowed to be included because they're illegal.
Like what?
Like how to dispose of a body.
Bethany, please just tell us, for scientific purposes, so we can protect ourselves, just do this one. I mean, beg you.
Okay, so just a heads up, like, again, I am not standing behind any of this information. Yeah. This is just what Clint Emerson says in this book. Okay. This is not all legal. You must perform within the boundaries of the laws of where you live. Okay? Yeah. So.
Do not try this at home.
This is purely for informational and entertainment purposes. Okay?
Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Number 85, dispose of a body. Ensure a body can never be found. So if you're doing a land burial, he says strip the body naked. Mm. And then bury it upside down. I don't know why. Let's see.
Vertically or horizontally?
Vertically. So you want to dig 2 feet deeper than the length of the body, lower the body head first so that the organs, which give off the most scent, are buried deep underground.
Okay.
And it also means if you bury him or her or them upside down vertically, then there's less land surface for a dog to sniff out.
Yeah. Very smart.
But it's tough because then you're burying like 8 feet down.
That's how you're supposed to bury St. Francis when you're trying to sell your house.
Upside down?
Or Joseph, one of them. Yeah. Upside down in the ground in front of your house. So bury your body like you bury a saint.
Exactly. Then he talks to sell a house. Then he talks about thermal burial.
Yeah.
You're going to need jet fuel for that.
What?
And then,
I wonder why.
Because it has to get hot enough to, you know, because like a regular fire doesn't get hot enough to burn bones.
Oh, you're so right. But if you've seen Breaking Bad, you can just dissolve them in the bathtub.
Yeah, but then the bathtub falls through the floor, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Because it was not the right kind of material. Yeah. I saw like 3 episodes of Breaking Bad and that was one of them. And then he talks about a maritime burial.
Okay.
And like what to put in the chicken wire that you put around the body.
Oh, damn. In water.
He says, basically, at the end of the day, anything can be made to permanently disappear. I mean, it's just frightening and so illegal.
You know what? These are interesting things to think about. I mean, it's just good to know them. It's just
in case.
Listen, it's like it's like when I got in trouble for drugs when I was in high school.
Yeah, smoking the pot.
Smoking the pot. And I had to go take a drug test. And my father was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're going to flush you out with water. And then right
Jesus,
before,
Dad?
My dad had so many flaws, but in many ways, he was like such a good dad. He was like, okay, we're going to flush you out. And then right before you take the drug test, we're going to stuff you with hamburger meat.
Why?
And that would put the protein, the creatine, back in your urine, make your urine yellow again, and it wouldn't look like you were tampering with your drug test.
Did it work?
Yeah, sure did.
How did your dad know this?
My dad was a forensic scientist in the narcotics department.
Oh, Kathleen, you like
so, I mean, there were a few other things we did, but I'm not going to reveal all of those things. If your kids are ever in trouble, you have to know how to protect them. Therefore, it's good. Kids/best friends/, I don't know, your pets could accidentally kill someone and you got to get rid of the body.
I'm going to go on record and say you should follow the laws of your local jurisdiction.
Family, I'm from Jersey. Let me tell you a little thing about family. You don't tell the police on your family. Okay, okay. Bethany?
Okay, all right. Take off your leopard print coat. Okay. All right. Here's what you have to do if you need to jump out of a plane or a boat into water.
Okay.
So please remember, water feels like concrete when you hit it from a high distance. It's not soft. It's hard water. Not the kind I have in my apartment that strips my skin of its natural protective barrier, though.
Ba-dum-tsh.
So you don't want to be jumping from higher than 20 feet.
Huh.
Okay?
Well, I mean, like, unless you're jumping from a plane, the high dive is certainly not 20 feet.
No. If you're jumping out of a plane, you're not going to make it. As you jump, maintain a tight body position, okay? So you want your arms and your feet straight.
Okay.
Okay? Eyes on the horizon.
Yep. Eyes on the horizon. I'm practicing right now.
Okay.
Oh, I have a button in my blouse undone.
As soon as you hit the water, point your toes. You hit with a straight spine, feet first. And then he doesn't say this, but I've always heard this. Then you immediately spread out like a starfish as soon as you hit the water.
It makes a lot of sense.
Because then you're going to slow yourself down.
Yeah. The least amount of surface area.
Yeah.
And then expand.
Expand.
Yeah.
Expand.
Yeah. I get.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah. Okay. Here's how to, if you need to do surveillance or you need to like hide from, you know, your friend who keeps coming over. Like when it was my dad's birthday, I was on the phone with him and he was like, oh no. And he ducked down apparently. And his friend had come to say happy birthday, but he didn't feel like talking to anyone. And so he was hiding from his best friend who had come to his house unannounced.
In his own,
own house. And that is my dad. Cause I am the same way.
You can't show up unannounced. Wow. Yeah. You are his child.
Yeah. So if you want to hide from someone, here's how to create a vehicle hide. Okay. So you're going to get into the back of your car. You're going to put the seats down. You're going to take two black sheets. You need safety pins and scissors. All right. So you're going to take those sheets and cut them both in half. So now you have four panels. You need four big pieces of black fabric, basically. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right.
Following you.
You're going to take the safety pins. You're going to pin the fabric panels to the fabric on the top of your car. Right. And on the headlining, you're so you're going to do the four panels all the way around you. So you're like in a tiny black room. Then you're going to cut a T flap in one of the fabrics that can be opened and closed. Those are like your little windows.
Okay.
Okay. And then that way you can sit in the back of your car and you can have like a camera or you can have a book or a light or whatever, your coffee, and you can sit there and you can like put a camera through one of the little T flaps and be taking photos, but no one will know you're there because the windows look black. Yeah.
So if you want to go spy on your ex.
Or, you know, I'm trying to keep it like above the law. You know, like you don't want to be spying on people. But like if you're trying to avoid someone.
Like if you're going through a very messy divorce.
Right.
Sometimes you need evidence.
Or sometimes if a friend keeps coming over to your house and you just don't want to play with them.
Yeah, no.
You want to hide in your car.
Yeah, you're correct about that.
Legal reasons for doing these things.
This is not that much different than when my parents used to leave me home alone and I would put my size Barbie in the window to make it look like there was someone at home. It's just all about illusion.
It's all about the illusion. Okay. Here's how to discreetly lose people.
Okay.
All right. So if you have a bunch of people who are driving behind you or walking behind you, you want to create an accordion effect, Kathleen, okay?
Okay.
The number one rule of eluding people is don't let them know that you know they're there. So you want to make all of this look very natural and like it just happened versus you like trying to escape from them.
You know, people who have the ability to make this stuff look very natural, that is a God-given talent.
It's very, I think you can, well, I think it's something that you were highly trained.
I mean, just like actors, because I have the tendency to overact everything. And so I imagine that if I were trying to lose somebody, I would overlose. I would overlose them. It would just be like me calling out, are you gone yet?
Or you would like drive fast and then slow down and drive fast. And the next time they got up to you, you were wearing a mustache and like a hat. And then the next time they caught up to you, you were dressed in like a different chapeau and a pipe.
Can I just say, I looked up how much a CIA agent makes every year. And on average, they make $81,000 a year.
They're not highly paid enough.
It's a good salary, but you're certainly not going to get rich.
No, you're not.
They do it for the love of it, just like Leonardo DiCaprio.
Just like Leonardo DiCaprio. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Catch him if you can. Okay, so first, create an accordion effect to lose people. So, for example, travel through areas that have a lot of traffic lights and stop signs. This is going to force the surveillance team behind you to slow up and speed down, slow up and speed down. And then the people further back in that surveillance line might get caught behind a previous light. And so you are actually separating them, which is great. And it also seems like it's not your fault.
And I understand this. But so many times during car chases and movies, no pedestrians get hit. And it's just not possible.
It isn't. And also, but with those, they know they're being chased by a car. And so they're like, at this point, screw it. Yeah. I'm going to, you know, go through lights and everything because I'm not trying to like seem casual. Yeah. They also say use public transportation. Plan in advance. So if you know the L train is coming at like 7:56, make sure you're at the L train at 7:56 and you can just hop right on and they might not get on at the same time. Or hop on as soon as they hop on, you hop off really quickly right when the doors close. I did that once and it works because there was a guy following me and I hopped on, he hopped on, I hopped right off again and then away he went. It was the most exciting and terrifying moment in my life.
Yeah, my face is showing lots of joy right now because I find that exciting. I'm sorry that you had to go through that.
It was really
that
scary.
That is so cool, Bethany. Yeah. You're a badass.
I know, I felt really proud of myself. Okay, this might be kind of old technology. This book was published in 2015, so I don't have the updated one, but this might still work. Here's one way to detect if a tracking device has been put in or on your car.
Ooh.
Okay, turn off your cell phone.
Okay.
This is going to make it so you don't look like you're inspecting your vehicle because you don't want them to know that you know that you're being tracked.
Yeah.
Get in your car, turn off any cell phones, and set the radio to an AM station that's crackly and out of range. Huh. If you hear an occasional ticking sound behind the fuzz, there is some kind of cellular device at work inside the car.
Wow.
At that point, I don't know how to get rid of it, but at least you know it's there so you can have like real boring conversations, you know?
Okay. Let me see if I can buy one of these online. Tracking device for car. Let's see how much they cost. Let's check out Amazon.
I mean, there's a spy store in Midtown.
There is?
Yeah. And they're like, tracking your wife, tracking your lover. It's you know, we all need to know where everyone goes, says the sign.
Are they color coded so you don't get your tracker for your wife mixed up with the one for your lover?
So embarrassing.
You know what? It ranges. The prices range based on how much you're willing to spend. Could be as low as $39 and then as high as $200.
Yeah, cool. I mean, good I guess to know. You get what you pay for. Okay, this is great. If you are hiding in the night or if you just want to make a dramatic exit out of a room, this is how you make a diversionary flash device. This is going to go and emit a lot of light. So if you're in the dark, this can like cause people to, it can impair their vision for up to like 10 minutes because, you know, you're dark and then a bright light, your eyes are like, no, and you can't see straight.
I mean, I know how painful it is to do that when you have to use the bathroom in the middle of the night. I can't imagine something really more powerful than a light bulb.
Exactly. So you need a cigarette lighter. Mm. So you take the flame shroud, like the metal circular U-shaped part on the top of it that sort of protects the flame. You take that off,
pop it off.
Then you remove the little tiny striker wheel.
Okay,
there's a flint and a flint spring, a tiny spring. Take all of those off.
Gone.
You're going to take the flint. It's a tiny little cylinder. You're going to twist the spring around that flint.
Okay.
Then you're going to take the cigarette lighter. Mm-hmm. Be careful because it doesn't have the flame shroud anymore, you could burn yourself.
Okay.
You're going to heat the flint for about 30 seconds to a minute until it's red hot. And then you're going to throw it to the ground and blam, it's going to create a brilliant spark and you're going to exit. So it takes like 2 minutes to do. And I don't know why they don't say you're going to be creating light as you're doing this, but maybe you're hidden in a different part of the dark room. And then you heat it up for 2 minutes and it's like, pow, pow, and then you run away. Blam,
pa-blow, pa-blow. Yeah. Similar effect without the fire, get a really bright flashlight and flash it at someone's eyes.
Yeah. And if you know that they're wearing night vision goggles, oh, that's going to mess them up.
How much do those cost? Let me look that up.
I don't know. They had them in Jurassic Park.
Night vision goggles. If they're in Jurassic Park, you know that they exist because dinosaurs exist.
That's true.
$152 on Creative XP. Oh, interesting. Yeah.
Very worth it.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's what to do if you want to leave zero fingerprints behind.
You wear gloves.
You know, if your friend is trying to find you and you know that she can read fingerprints and you don't want to leave any fingerprints behind.
Okay.
Wear white cotton gloves. Fingerprints can be extracted from the inside of surgical gloves.
Oh.
Okay.
Oh.
Here's another way.
Okay.
Take some super glue.
Yeah.
Apply it to your fingertips.
Yeah.
That's, you know.
Yeah, I mean, easy peasy. You can also burn your fingertips off.
Does that work?
I did on Law & Order. There was some guy that they couldn't identify because it was like a two-part, three-part series where this really terrifying guy kidnapped Olivia Benson. Ooh. But in the first episode that they show him in, he puts his fingertips on a hot griddle to burn them off so they can't identify him by his fingerprints.
I mean, I know they did that in Men in Black, but I didn't think that was a real thing you could do.
Oh, really? I wonder how much that thing in Men in Black costs where you can erase people's memory.
I think it's not real. So probably free because it's not, you don't. It's not out. Yeah.
It's not real?
No. Another option, sand your fingerprints off with a pumice stone or take capecitabine to achieve the side effect of fingerprint loss. I don't know what capecitabine is.
Capecitabine. Is it a derivative of capsaicin?
I'm guessing. C-A-P-E-C-I-T-A-B-I-N-E.
Okay, I'll tell you what it is.
Tell me what it
is. It is the chemotherapy to treat breast cancer and other types of cancer. So maybe it's like an acid and it can burn things off.
The picture shows him holding a pill bottle in one hand and like breathing onto his hand in the other. But I don't know what that has to do with the medicine.
I don't know. Maybe it's activated by moisture. That's maybe. Really crazy.
Maybe.
Yeah. Do you know apparently spies in Washington, D.C., they meet in Panera?
Really? Yeah. Well, how do you know that?
I just read something about that.
That's really funny.
I was doing like a quick Googs. They meet in Panera.
Even spies need delicious salads and soup products.
You know, I haven't been to Panera in such a long time. I used to love Panera.
Panera's great. Free Wi-Fi. Anyone who's out of work is hanging out at Panera.
And they have excellent chai tea lattes.
They do. Very good. Here's how to prevent someone hacking and tracking your devices when you're walking around in the public space. Build a 4-layer aluminum foil pocket to block all incoming and outgoing signals.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then put all of your devices in that aluminum foil device.
They make those pouches that you can buy.
Yeah.
So when you're, yeah, so it can't be scanned.
Yeah.
You know, if someone is going through the trouble of trying to scan something through my giant purse that's filled with garbage and lotto tickets and scissors and probably a wrench and a pocket knife and like all sorts of a rotten cucumber in a Ziploc bag.
Sure.
Go ahead. Go. I mean, like, I'll cancel my credit card. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
I mean, they can steal your identity, Kathleen. That's the worst that can happen.
Okay, so they steal my identity and I have the tracker that alerts me right away. They charge all the shit to my credit card.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, what's the worst that could happen?
They steal your identity and they ruin your credit. And it takes you years and years to build it back up again.
Okay. That's...
The worst could happen. It's not good.
Everybody should be checking to see how many credit cards are opened in their name at least once every 6 months.
Of course. Of course. Do you?
Yes, of course.
Good. Good.
I like really get a high when my FICO score goes up.
I know, I do too.
Screenshot it and I'm like, to send it to my friends. Like, look at my FICO score.
Okay.
$790.
Here, if you think you're about to get into a vehicular impact, if you think you're about to like get hit by a car or be in a car crash.
Okay.
Okay, make sure that your hands are on the steering wheel at 9 and 3. Make sure that if you have to steer, don't cross your hands over each other. You want to shuffle your hands along the steering wheel because if you cross your hands, you could end up with a forearm full of teeth, he says.
Oh, God.
You don't want your thumbs to wrap around the steering wheel. You want them to sit up next to your index fingers on the steering wheel to prevent them from breaking. And then bracing for impact. If you're sitting in the back seat, you want to place your head against the front seat, legs at 90 degrees, and your hands over your head with your elbows also on the front seat ahead of you to create a protective cage for your head.
Whoa.
Yep.
Wait, can I tell you the craziest thing ever?
What's that?
This is like a friend of a friend of a friend.
So a stranger.
a stranger. I know someone who knows this person.
A third degree of Kevin Bacon.
I know someone who knows this person. She and her boyfriend were in a car, drunk driving, which is terrible. Jeez. But she was passed out in the front seat. And the only reason that she survived is because she was drunk and slumped down because the boyfriend went underneath the truck and his head was cut off.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that awful? It's crazy.
Did he not have a seatbelt on?
I don't think he did. No, but I mean, they went under like a big tractor. The car was, you know, low to the ground and she was slumped down. She was sleeping.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. Yeah, I know.
Jesus.
Yeah. I mean, spies would never drive drunk.
No. I mean, the only reason most people survive is because they don't drive drunk.
I wonder how night vision works.
Are we?
Let me look this up.
Are we back on night vision?
Is it like a machine that has eaten a lot of
carrots?
I can
see the moment you lose focus and get distracted by something else.
I'm so sorry. Have you ever really thought about it? Like, how do noise-canceling headphones cancel noise? Are they sending waves into your brain that are eventually going to give you cancer?
No, I don't think so.
I think about this a lot.
Well, let's talk about it. What do you think? How do night vision goggles work?
I'm going to tell you right now.
Okay. While you're looking it up.
Yeah.
This is how to get out of restraints, okay?
Oh, yeah.
You should always carry a bobby pin with you. Here is why. If you are put in zip tie restraints,
yeah.
If your hands are in front of you,
uh-huh.
have a bobby pin hidden in your waistline. Remove the wax tip from the bobby pin, okay?
Yeah. Bite it off.
There's where the teeth of the zip tie and the interlocking ratchet hook each other.
Oh.
Wedge the tip of the bobby pin between the ratchet and the interlocking teeth, and then pull your wrists apart to release the interlocking teeth from the ratchet. That's how to get out of zip ties. All right?
Always have a bobby pin in your hair.
Yep. Last one. How to get out of duct tape. Duct tape is the most commonly used restraint upon initial abduction, okay?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So if your hands are duct taped behind you, mm-hmm. you want to get into a standing position, turn your feet outward into a V, all right? Or in ballet, that's first position.
Yeah, first position.
Now, squat down fast. Drive your butt to your heels. The tape will shear apart, freeing your ankles. So that's how your ankles will get undone, okay?
Oh, it's all about momentum.
Yep. Then reposition your hands from back to front. So step through your hand restraint so that your hands go from behind you to in front of you.
Okay.
Then you want to extend your hands forward at shoulder height and then drive your elbows backwards past your rib cage as hard as you can, and the tape will shear apart, freeing your wrist.
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers. That's reverse Power Rangers.
Reverse Power Rangers.
Yeah. So excellent. That's that about that. How do we see through night vision goggles?
Way too complicated. Way too smart for me. There are electrons amplified by photo multipliers. There's a photoelectric cell, and I'm just going to leave it at that.
Great.
Everyone hit the gooks.
So Kathleen and I were talking off the air, as it were, and we're talking about like decluttering our homes. And the hardest part is that you have these things that maybe were given to you by people that you love, and I'm afraid to throw them away or sell them or donate them because I'm afraid that I'm throwing away the memory and like my family by throwing away or getting rid of this thing.
You're throwing away a piece of that person's soul because they gave you a gift.
Yeah. And I know you're supposed to thank it for its service and then, you know, and then get rid of it. But it's so hard. We were talking about, we have a mutual friend who's like a minimalist and is very good at having no clutter.
Yeah.
And it's like, how do you do that?
Well, I mean, Bethany, your boyfriend is a minimalist.
Yeah.
And tell me what you just told me about his sneakers.
So he gets a new pair of sneakers.
Yeah.
He gets rid of the old pair.
No.
Like he donates it. Or if they're gross, he throws them. But he just has one pair of sneakers. That's it. One.
You need a backup pair of gross sneakers that you don't care what happens to if you're doing A, painting project, or B, a mud run.
Yes. What if you're doing a mud run? You can't wear your nice sneakers in the mud. He got a new pair of sneakers, got rid of the old. He gets a new pair of pants.
I can't.
Gets rid of the old.
No, he doesn't.
He gets a new pan. Gets rid of the old. One in, one out. And I don't get it.
But you need more than one pan.
I know.
Yesterday, I was in this friend's apartment. She just moved into this beautiful studio apartment in the East Village in New York City. And I walked in. I was like, this is a spa. You don't live here. This is a spa. This is a... Someone just did a shoot for the Anthropology catalog.
Yeah.
In this apartment, I was so rude. I start opening up her closets and her drawers and I'm going, where's your stuff?
Look, looking for that one closet where you open it and things shoot out like there's a hydraulic press behind them.
And there was none of that. I started taking pictures and posting them to Pinterest right away underneath my dream house board.
No, it's like, do you have a junk drawer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you don't have a junk drawer, what is wrong with you?
I have 5 junk drawers.
My office is a junk drawer.
I have a whole dresser that's just a junk drawer.
Yeah.
Like an old IKEA Melm that I just, all my junk goes in there.
So what did you said in the beginning in the intro that you were upgrading your Melm dresser. What are you doing to it?
So there's something you can buy to, you know, spruce up your Melm called overlays. And years ago, I bought these overlays that I spray painted them gold and it was like a crisscross square that I glued to each drawer. And it's just a little too farmhousey for me. So I ripped them off. Unfortunately, I ripped off a layer of lacquer. And so now what I'm going to buy is, and it's pretty cool, they sell them on Amazon, sheets of very thin birch wood that you can stain or paint any color you want, and I'm going to glue a new facade on top of each drawer for my Melm.
That's cool. Yeah, I I'm obsessed with Domino, the home decor, whatever, and hell, they talk all the time about that, how to upgrade your IKEA furniture. And yeah, there's like these different companies that create overlays and different knobs and different legs that you can like elevate your Melm or whatever and make it look a little bit higher end.
I learned recently watching Masterclass that if you have some furniture in a, I don't know, let's just say your living room. Let's say you have the type of couch where there's no legs mm-hmm. and it sits on the floor. Mm-hmm. You need to balance that space with other types of furniture that have legs because you cannot have everything sitting on the floor in a single room. There needs to be like a little bit of air in between some things.
Oh, I didn't know. Does it then just feel like too heavy if everything yes. is sitting on the floor?
Feels too one-dimensional. So if your couch sits on the floor, then your coffee table needs to have legs, or you need to have a chair that has legs, or vice versa.
That's very interesting. It's cool how these different elements enter our subconscious and we either like a room or we don't like a room, but we don't necessarily know why.
Yes.
My hot tip, if you are a pet owner, uh-huh. everything should be up on tall legs, because I have a couch on short legs that is just off the ground enough for the cat's balls, like toy balls, to get under it, but not back out, nor can the cats get under it to get the balls back out. So like once a quarter, I have to pull the couch out and there's about yep. 50 foam balls sitting back there. And yep. And then, you know, now you're just like, now you're inundated with cat balls and no one wants that.
Last time I pulled my couch out, I found a pizza crust underneath. Don't know how that happened.
That's a good pizza crust that went to waste.
I mean, you know, pizza crust, thankfully, isn't something that's going to rot, you know, unlike a cucumber or something. It just dries out and hardens.
A piece of broccoli and you wonder which family member has passed away in your house without you knowing.
Yeah. You start smelling something like, what is that? Like, I thought when my neighbors had a big, huge pot smoking problem because it just smelled like pot all the time. But it was really just a cup of apple juice that had been rotting on my desk for 6 months.
This is when our sweet listener, Lady Catherine, will say, Kathleen, you are gross.
You're grossing people out. Have you purchased any stocks recently?
Wow. Let's figure that out. Hard left. Hold on. Let me open up my app.
Well, I'm asking you this because hard left. I was reading Apple News this morning and a survey by Deutsch.
What?
D-E-U-T-S-C-H-E.
Deutsch.
There you go. A survey showed that half of 25 to 34-year-olds plan to spend 50% of their stimulus checks on stocks.
Being a grown-up sucks, but what can you do? What's the other option? Being an eternal child.
You know, an eternal child with the mind of a grown-up may not be that bad. Like, imagine how funny it would be to walk into a bar and there's like a six-year-old pounding a beer going, man, my Robinhood stocks tanked today.
Do you listen to How Did This Get Made?
I do occasionally.
One of the running through lines is how Paul Scheer had such a strange childhood. And every once in a while, he will bust out these stories as though they're completely normal that make everyone else stop in their tracks and go, that's so strange.
What?
And one of the less strange ones is that he would come home from grade school as like a single digit aged child and crack open a bottle of root beer and talk about what a hard day he had. Like, he was like pounding beer, and his grandmother, I think it was his grandmother, was very concerned about him.
Oh,
he's just like a kid who is more stressed out than he should have been at that age. Just like, oh man, what a day.
I know it's really terrible when little kids are stressed out, but I find it so endearing.
It's like when little kids have really thick glasses. It's yes. like, you're too young to have bad eyes. It's
I know.
So cute. It's so cute.
And they have these little Coke bottle glasses.
Oh.
Speaking of soda, have you seen that Coke now has a version out with coffee?
This I have not seen, but I feel like coffee Coke is big in other countries.
I just saw a billboard for it. Thus, another reason why we need a damn billboard. Because look, I saw the billboard and now I'm talking to you about it.
That's
on
true.
This podcast.
Coffee Coke.
Coca-Cola with coffee comes in flavors like vanilla, dark blend, and caramel.
Yeah, I feel like that's a thing in other countries. Coffee, Coke, Europe, question mark? Europe?
I am getting a delivery. I'm like so I have to get myself a new, what's that seltzer maker that you have? Do you still use yours?
SodaStream. I love my SodaStream. Use it every day.
I need to get a new SodaStream because I have a delivery coming today from Amazon Fresh and it's just like 16 cases of seltzer.
No, you got to get a SodaStream. That's so much wasted plastic and fuel charges.
It's so much wasted.
Yeah, get a SodaStream. Yeah. It's so much better. Coca-Cola Black came out in 2006 and was discontinued in 2008. Coffee-flavored soft drink. The mid-calorie drink was introduced first in France, and subsequently in other markets, including Czech Republic, Slovakia, and Lithuania. So they tried it.
And it didn't work.
Maybe it wasn't enough Coke in it. It was just coffee, like carbonated coffee.
I believe that the billboard hints that it starts like a Coke, finishes like a coffee.
I don't want it.
I want to try it. I wish it came in Diet Coke because I do like Diet Coke, the taste of Diet Coke better than regular Coke.
There's also White Coke. Have you ever heard of White Coke?
What? No.
White Coke was, this is off the Wikipedia page, was a clear variant of Coca-Cola produced in the 1940s at the request of Marshall of the Soviet Union. So it's like Crystal Pepsi, which yeah. came out in the 80s, I want to say, or early 90s. White Coke.
Crystal Pepsi was the 80s because they drink it on Stranger Things.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of different Cokes here. Look at that.
Interesting. Well, I bought a cherry cream soda with my seltzers to be delivered because, man, cherry cream soda tastes so good.
It does. I love a cream soda. I do. Yeah, and definitely get yourself a SodaStream. Non-spawn.
Non-spawn.
But God bless SodaStream.
Miss Bethany, what did you learn this week?
I learned something fun about home decor and organization.
Oh, again? Do tell.
Yeah. So speaking of IKEA, yeah. you know those wooden slats you get for your IKEA bed?
Sure do.
Yeah. So you can actually use those for storage or organization in your home. So if you hang the slats from the wall, you can like hammer nails into them and then hang little baskets off of them or whatever, like put it on the back of your bathroom door and you can put all of your, you know,
plants.
Little things in there. You can hang your shoes over it. You can hang magazines over the slats, or if you put in, like little nails, you can hang, you know,
other things.
I have not done it, but I thought it was a really good idea. So I think next time I'm at IKEA, I might pick up a spare slat ladder.
Do they sell slats just on their own?
I think so.
Cool.
They sell everything on their own. You just have to know which aisle to go down in when you serve yourself at their giant warehouse.
I love a good IKEA.
What about you, Kathleen? What'd you learn this week?
I learned, and this is a story from 2007, so it's a little bit dated. But I still think it's really cool. In 2007, so I don't know how old he is now, but in 2007, this 12-year-old Norwegian boy... He saved himself and his sister from a moose attack by using the skills that he learned in level 30 of World of Warcraft.
Whoa!
Apparently in level 30, you learn this skill called feigning death, where hunters pretend that they're dead to convince like somebody else that they're, you know, not worth going after. It's like a possum when a possum plays dead. So this little boy, his name is Hans Jorgen, him and his sister were walking through the woods and there was an enraged moose in the forest near their home. And after shouting at this gigantic creature to ward it away from his sister, Hans dropped to the ground and then pretended he was dead like he learned on World of Warcraft.
That's so risky because you have to have your eyes closed.
Yep.
And so you don't know if the moose is buying it or not.
Yep. Just.
Oh, man.
Dead. Can you imagine a little boy in a giant moose and you just lay on the ground and pretend you're dead?
That's a smart and very brave little boy.
Yes.
Speaking of things attacking you in the night in the woods.
Yes.
I watched the movie Willow Creek this weekend, and if you loved like the Blair Witch Project and you love found footage movies, but you want a good one,
okay,
like a quality one, it's directed by Bobcat Goldthwait, and it is about Bigfoot, and it is not terribly long, and it's called Willow Creek, and it's very enjoyable, and I liked it a lot.
I'm looking at the trailer poster, right, or the poster for the movie. It looks amazing. I have been in the mood for something like this lately, so thank you for the suggestion.
You know, you know that I totally get off on single shots, like long extended one shots, and this movie has a 20-minute one shot in it, which... God bless.
That's so hard to do.
Yeah, it's great. So watch it. Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Miss Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also find our podcast on social media.
We are Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
We are Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
On Facebook, Acquired Taste Podcast. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group in there. What were they talking about this week? Oh, they were talking about how they didn't know how to spell the word acquired until they started listening to this podcast.
There's a C in it.
processy.
You can also find us on email, anacquiredtastepodcast@gmail.com.
We have a snail mail address, and that is anacquiredtastepodcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
You can call us and leave us a voicemail. We play your voicemails at the end of almost every single episode. Give us a call, 917-994-0353.
And this podcast is edited by the fabulous Charlotte Gartenberg. You can find her on Twitter at @chargar and on Instagram at @lit_folk.
And if you're watching any of our videos, those are edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O.
Wherever you listen to this podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. 5 stars is the best, helps us move up in the ranks.
This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
Ooh, that felt good on a Monday. That was like a sassy yawn I just gave.
And Taste Buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Happy birthday, Kathleen. In honor of your birthday, I wanted to share with you my favorite joke I ever heard that I tell everybody whenever I can get the chance. What is the difference between a dirty bus station and a lobster with breast implants? One is a crusty bus station, and the other is a busty crustacean. It kills me every time. Anyway, I hope you are having an absolutely lovely day, and happy birthday.
Happy birthday. Oh, God, I sound terrible. But happy birthday, Kathleen. I know I'm a day late. I know it was yesterday, and today, yesterday on March 5th, but today on March 6th is my birthday. This is Taste Bud Jessica, so hello to my Pisces sister. I, for the first time, went to Starbucks to the drive-thru and said, it's my birthday, make me whatever. And I got a really delicious coffee, and it was so much fun. And as I was doing that, I was also listening to the most recent podcast about dick drawing psychology. And yes, I rolled up to the coffee to the barista with a very loud dick, dick, dick conversation happening in my car, which they got a lot of, they got a kick out of. They thought it was funny. So happy birthday. And hey, Bethany, love you too.
Hi there. This is Lauren. I'm just calling to wish Kathleen the happiest birthday ever. I hope you had a wonderful day and, of course, a wonderful month, because who doesn't celebrate a birth month? But anyway, happy, happy birthday.
Hi, ladies. This is Steph from the Poconos. I literally just called it like the beginning of this week. I don't know. Time is meaningless, but I just called talking about Facebook and how I wasn't on it. So I'm not sure that today is the exact right day, but it's Kathleen's birthday. Yay. And I just wanted to call and wish you the happiest of birthdays. We love you. We thank you for all that you do for the podcast. You can come DIY my house whenever you want. We can drink wine. I have plenty for us to share. And, yeah, that's, you know, you're awesome and we love you. And, I hope that you get to spend the day with Neil and the cats and, drink a lot of wine and enjoy yourself. So happy birthday, girl. We love you.
Hey, ladies. What up, Taste Buds? This is Ingrid. I'm currently in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I was just calling in to wish Miss Kathleen a very happy birthday. I think I'm a day late, but I just wanted to make sure I left her some love on her voicemail or the Taste Bud voicemail. So I hope you had a very sexy day. I hope you enjoy your kitties. I hope you enjoy your hubby. I hope you enjoy some wine, some cake, and I hope you enjoy yourself. Love you, ladies.
Hi, it's me, Caitlin, and I'm calling to wish Kathleen the happiest of birthdays. Kathleen, you bring me joy every week with your segments. You always make me laugh, and I love your style, and I love that you're so colorful, both in style, in your aesthetic, and just in your personality. If the world was curious, just as curious and witty and kind as you, it would be a very much a better place. I hope you have the best day filled with cannoli, both the cat and the actual dessert, and whatever you would like. It's all on you, girl. Have the happiest birthday.
Hey, Kathleen and Bethany. This is Rachel, a longtime listener, first-time caller. Just wanted to
call and wish Kathleen a very happy birthday. All of the Taste Buds were talking about it in the podcast fan group. I know it's been a rough year for you. I hope that this year is filled with nothing but wonderful things and that this is the start of a new chapter for you. We love you and just want to wish you a happy birthday and let you know we're thinking about you.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Jennifer calling to wish you a very happy birthday. I hope that you feel all the love that the Taste Buds are sending you today, and I'm sure your family and friends as well. Have an amazing day.
Hi, Kathleen. This is Taste Bud Aubrey from Wisconsin. I'm just calling to wish you a very happy birthday. I hope you enjoy some sunshine and some rosé and your cheesecake that you're looking forward to. Happy birthday. Thank you for all that you do with Bethany, and the community that you guys have created is just incredible.
Happy birthday, Kathleen. Just wanted to wish you a happy birthday and hoping that today is full of your favorite things and that you are making sure to take some time and space to celebrate yourself. Today I will be celebrating you by doing a little bit of online shopping to treat myself. Happy birthday, and I really hope it's awesome. And again, thank you for just, you know, sharing all these layers of yourself and just, you know, being you.
Hi, Kathleen. It's Taste Bud Christina from New Jersey. Just calling to wish you a very happy birthday. Hope you have a magical day. You are the best, and we love you. Bye-bye.